If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Marrow Cap News for Monday, the 21st of July, 2024. I don't know about you, but it feels like liquidity is getting better, isn't it? I've got, just looking at my stocks here, all right? I'd say 90% of them are in the green. Probably a bit more than that. And I'm looking, of course, every morning I look across loads of different stocks, and there's lots of green about. What was odd is the AIM All share is down 0.1%. But I do feel we are getting there. Interest rates are going to come down. That is the biggest driver of the market. Apart from, you know, the left field events that can have a temporary effect on the market, the driving, you know, inflow of money is done by interest rates coming down. And that's happening. And also, once you have, you know, indices, indexes hitting all-time highs, it drives more money into the market. And that pushes prices up, which attracts more money. It's a virtuous cycle. I think we're experiencing that now. We're starting to see this. It's been, you know, if you're a small cap investor, it's been a struggle for many years. You know, I mean, look at the AIM All share. It's still down below, you know, well, it's just out of a bear market. Just about. It's just into a bull market. But it's been down for 4 years. We're still at 771. The high here was double that back in 2021. Well, just about nearly double that, 13,013. So it's getting there. It's looking like it's getting there. And in fact, AIM's going sideways a little bit. It needs to sort of break 777. But this is good news. Honestly, the more liquidity in the market, the better. And by the way, I did a video on Beaks over the weekend. If you haven't looked at it, please look at it. And of course, the ultra, you know, if you want to see, and they're posting, you know, financial markets are doing very well, their trading metrics. And of course, the more people that trade, the more people, the prices go up, the more people want to trade, the more liquidity needed. And so something like Beaks will benefit all round. You know, crypto markets are up. So, you know, check that out, by the way, on YouTube if you haven't seen it. I may actually rip the audio from that. And if I don't do a podcast this Friday, because I didn't do a podcast on Friday because there was nothing there. I posted on one company, which is Churchill China. In fact, I'll cover that today. But there was it's happening over and over again. There's very little news on Fridays. But you'll see, I guarantee this, right? Mark my words. If the markets start performing very well, you'll see more and more news come out. Because previously, companies said, if you don't need a post, let's not post any news. Because the markets, it's not receptive. But if they are receptive, they'll post news as often as possible. And like I said, it is like a tsunami. Markets rise, people shout about it, attracts more money in, markets rise, people shout about it. And of course, it's the opposite on the way down. So buckle up, everyone. I think as long as we don't get some stupid policies, as long as Europe and America don't go to war on trade talks, then I think we could be in for a good ride for the rest of this year. Anyway, let's have a quick look at the markets. I say quick. the FTSE 100, it's down about 0.1%. It did hit today, though. It did hit that just over 9,000. It was at 8,981. The FTSE 250 is at a 52-week high, which is very good, of course. That's domestically focused, bigger cap stocks. The FTSE 100 is largely international reporting dollars, but the FTSE 250 is more domestically based. So that's a good sign there. It's up 0.16% to 21,933. FTSE small cap, it's up 0.13% to 7,251. And that's, yeah, it's been a 52-week high. In fact, it's highest it's been since, February 2022. The high was only in September that year, 2021. So that is nearing an all-time high, not far off that. A couple of hundred points. Where are we at? The all-time high is at 7,600. It's now at 7,250. It's not far off that. The FTSE fledgling. Again, that's very similar to the small cap there. This is, of course, companies below the FTSE 350, not included a name. And so that's highest. The highest there was 13,500 pretty much, or 13,600. It's now at 13,424. So that's getting towards a new high. Honestly, highs beget more highs. And that's why it's a false economy. You know, it's unbelievable. It sounds common sense, but only buy companies that are fundamentally improving. By that, I mean, you know, their financials, not the story. It's funny, there's a stock today that says ramped quite heavily on Twitter, and it's got pre-revenue. And they're hiring contractors in. And of course, these contractors, big service companies, and the people holding this company are aligning their fortunes with these big companies. And they're just paying money to have them assess their project. There shouldn't be any alignment of value there whatsoever. It's delusion. But it's amazing how many people will jump on a company that's had a bad update because the share price has dropped by a lot. Okay, you can do the odd falling knife trade with a little bounce, dead cat bounce trade. But generally, if a company is deteriorating, then they'll carry on like that for quite a while. And conversely, with companies improving, if they issue, you know, ahead of expectations results, they tend to, you know, release more of those. Why? Because they're doing something right. They've got the right product service. The management in place are very good, and so they keep on doing that. And you know, conversely, again with bad companies, they got something wrong. The product's wrong. The service is wrong. They've been squeezed out. Maybe a better competitor. You don't know, but that doesn't change overnight. It takes months, maybe even years. Some companies, turnarounds take years if they haven't gone bust beforehand. So it sounds quite obvious, but only investing companies are improving. You're better off investing in a company that comes out with, that's been beaten down as a recovery, that comes out with a good set of results and jumps by 30%, rather than try and guess the bottom, because it could go lower. Anyway, that's my bit of chat there. AIM All Share, like I said, down 0.17%, 771. Needs to get above 777, really. Let's look at commodities. Brent crude down 0.4%, $69 a barrel. We got gold, that's up 0.8%. That, I've said this before, I can't see gold selling off at all. 3,381. I'd say it gets about 3,400. It's a good sign, closes above that. It's done that a couple of times, backed off from it. Inflation, interest rates coming down. I think gold is going to rise. Copper, it's up 0.4% a day. For the ton, that is 12,404. The recent high was 12,500. So not far off a recent high. That's the ton, of course, in dollars. Bitcoin, that's at 18,575, up 1%. What else have we got? Let's look at government debt. Government bonds, down 0.8%. The yield is down 3.8%. Of course, conversely, good for stocks. If the yields go down, that's good, of course, for stocks. 10-year, down 1%, 4.6%. And the 30-year, down 1%, 5.4%. A pound will buy you €1.15. It'll buy you $1.34. Where's the Dixie? That's coming off a bit. Yeah, the dollar's weakening. So that's why you'll see something like Bitcoin and, gold rallying, or commodities, because they are denominated in dollars. And so if that weakens, the dollar is generally good for, you know, commodities and Bitcoin. Anything else? Oh, yeah, NASDAQ is at an all-time high on Friday. In fact, it went up, come back down, but the close was lower than the previous day. So it closed at 20,895. Where's the S&P? Did that close an all-time high? No, I think this close is just... No, in fact, on an all-time high. So there we are. So if you, that's why it's always good to hold, you know, a low-cost, well-diversified fund, because hopefully one of those funds will be holding some American stocks as well if you aren't into American markets. I don't invest in individual companies in America, but I do hold a fund that covers that, and so it's just exposure to the American markets. Anything else? No, that's right. Well, the Russell 2000 bounced, I think, didn't it? Yeah, because that went into bear territory, but that's the small cap indices in America. And it has rallied from the April lows. It went from 1,750 in April to 2,240. But the recent high was 2,400. So now 2,240. So it's getting there. It's getting there. And that's a broader market, really, a broader judge of money flowing down, you know, because you see the big gains in the big stocks. And you think, okay, when's it going to trickle down to the smaller stocks? And you tend to find when the bigger stocks start going sideways, stalling a little bit, but have rallied very well, you know, people look for gains elsewhere. And they tend to go down the market cap spectrum to smaller companies. So generally, when you see, you know, bigger, like a good example is the FTSE 100 has been doing well for a while. And now it's trickling down to FTSE 250. And that trickle down will continue to happen. Okay, people are taking on more risk. Of course, as the markets go up, people tend to be like that. That's the ultimate top of a bull market, is when people are spending or investing in ridiculous assets. Do you remember those? I wonder if they'll rally again. Those ape picks. What were they now? Tokens? No, I can't think what they were. That craze for that. That's when the market's at the high, when people are spending $1 million on pictures of apes. What were they called? I don't understand that the deal with those. You know, but you can just do a screenshot of them, have a picture for yourself. Why would you be paying? Because always the original one. So what? Who cares? They're cartoon apes. Anyway, you know, what I'm saying is when the bull market gets to all-time high, people very don't give a toss about risk. You know, the bull market. And then it's all about the other way in the bear market. Anyway, you know, understand what I'm saying. As the markets go up, people tend to take more and more risks, and that means going down the market cap spectrum. And so, and you don't need everyone to go down the market cap spectrum, of course. The smaller cap companies are less liquid. So even the small inward trickle, downward trickle of funds to the small micro caps, you know, moves them up exaggeratedly higher than the big caps, of course. And once they start moving, you find a lot more money goes into them because they move by a lot more than the big caps. And people hate missing out, you know, the fear of missing out. Okay, so there's not much on the database today, not much news out. In fact, there's some crap stocks like Port Merion and all that. I'm not saying it's crap, but it's, you know, they're struggling. So in alphabetical order, these are companies, you know, that are sort of defined as micro cap, small cap, pretty much. Depends on definition. There's no hard and fast rule, small cap, micro cap. But I say micro cap is around about 100 million or less. Small cap is above that, maybe 300 million, 500 million, depends. But nano cap, I say, is below 20 million. So let's look at these. No, this is a nano cap. In fact, maybe I shouldn't cover these. I don't know. Aorema, a leading strategic communications group based in London, New York, and Amsterdam. Which of those offices would you prefer to work in? London, New York, or Amsterdam? Yeah, you can separate people on that decision, can't you? A trading update for 12 months ended 30th of June. There's no access to broker notes on this. But they are literally a nano cap, market cap of 5 million. But what I was surprised at, they came out with a trading statement and they said These expected results are at the upper end of our prior expectations, with underlying profit before tax higher than guidance previously provided. So revenue is flat pretty much at 20.4 million versus 20.3. Profit before tax is down 18% to 360k versus 437k. But cash is up by 32% to 4.1 million. So at 50 pence a share, puts them on a forecast PE of 17, not particularly cheap. I question their ability to scale material, really. Like I said, profit before tax margins are less than 2%. What's interesting, though, is that even though 2025 is not an improvement on 24, their cash balance has increased to the point where it makes up a lot of their market cap. So the market cap at the moment is 5 million. They've got 4.1 million in cash. I sometimes think they could invest that in, well, they could probably get a better return just by putting that cash than from their operations. Just by putting that cash in a, you know, in a market making fund, they'd probably get better margins on that cash than they would if they'd put it into the business. So that's what I mean. You know, you've got to have, and that's what happens in high interest rate environment. You know, people will not put money into companies because they can probably get a decent return elsewhere. But as interest rates come down, then they'll start investing it. So it's a very liquid stock. About £2,000 a day is traded, meaning their share buyback program, which was announced on the 12th of May, alone could move the share price. But there are restrictions on how much they can buy. So they're restricted to, they may purchase ordinary shares pursuant to the buyback on any trading day materially in excess of 25% of the average daily volume, but remain below 50%. So it might rally on cash and liquidity improvement, but growth is lacking here. Top line growth and profit for tax growth. They do sound bullish, but I mean, that's not coming through in the figures. Like I said, it's a nano cap, so it can move just on liquidity. Next, Kromek. KMK is ticker here. A leading developer of radiation detection and biodetection technology solutions for the advanced imaging and CBRN detection segments. So market cap here at... what are they at? 5 pence a share? Something like that? Let me just check the share price here. KMK. 5.7 pence a share. And so their market cap is around about 35 million. Enterprise value, 43. And so they do have debt of 8 million as of the last set of results. But the new results come out soon. 30th of the 4th, 24 was their last set of results. But they announced today a contract under the government framework agreement worth 1.7 million, government's radiological nuclear detection framework. But just looking at the forecasts, they've been a high cash burning company for a long time, loss making as much as I can remember, as far back as I can remember. This is about to change for the next few years, due to a multi-year agreement with Siemens Medical Solutions USA. This contract was worth $37.5 million, provide revenue growth for 2025 and profit over the next 3 years. The majority of this revenue and profit being recognised in 25 and tapering off through 26, 27. So forecasts for 25 are expected to grow revenue by 24%, $24 million. PBT is set to be $1.8 million versus a $3.45 million loss. At 5.7 pence, but on a PE of 19. But this increases in the outer years due to profit and revenue dropping. So whilst this agreement with Siemens is positive, it is temporary unless they sign further significant deals. They could be heading back towards a loss-making company. So this today isn't a significant deal. 1.7 million is a decent deal, but it's not going to change their outlooks. The brokers haven't changed their forecast. So let's look in... 2026, net profit drops from 2 million in 25 to 1.8 million. And 2027, it drops to 700k from 1.8. So, they've got to sort the cash burn there. That's the problem. They're turning over, you know, double digits. Next, Manolet Partners. Mano's ticker, an insolvency litigation finance company. They've got a market cap at 79 pence of 34 million, enterprise value 45. They have got debt of about 12 million net debt. This is as the last of the results, but they are paying this down. Now, I read this, right, this RNS. I'll just go through it. The thing is, truck cartel case settlement. That was the thing. Now, I dare you to read the RNS and try and understand it. if you don't know anything about the business. Because I didn't get it once. I thought, what, is this a positive or negative? The brokers say it's a positive, but they haven't changed in their forecasts. So it's not that positive. And I've read that RNS about three times. Still makes no sense to me. Makes no sense whatsoever. So I go by the rule, if you don't understand something, avoid it. As someone once pointed out, I think maybe Charlie Munger, or maybe it's attributed to them, or Warren Buffett, they said, investing is not like Olympic diving. You do not earn extra points for difficulty. So basically, keep it simple. If you don't understand what's going on, don't get involved in it. So I've kept the previous broker comments pretty much based on their final results. But their final results were decent. They did improve on every metric. Highest revenues of 30.5 million for 25, strong increase in profitability, well ahead of market forecasts, they said, the company. Revenue increased by 16%, profit for tax grew by 30% to 1.35, net debt reduced by 10% to 11 million. By the way, a lot of the negative stuff they're talking about is non-cash impact on the company. They do going to retain just over 3 million, I think. Where is it? From this, let me just scroll up a second. Truck cartel, yeah, 3.2 million receiving and retaining 3.2 million in cash, and they're going to be paying off their debt, which I said, so they'll take it down to what, 8 million, which is of course less interest charges on that, so increased profitability. But the broker hasn't done anything with the forecast, but anyway, 2026, revenue is expected to be largely flat, but growth in net profit is forecast to be up by 157% to 2.3 million. At 80 pence per share, this would put them on a PE of 15. Not cheap and not expensive, especially if they hit their 2027 numbers, which see further improvement. So it's maybe worth watching, but they say it's quite a complex thing. It's about cash, unrealized cash, and all that stuff. So it's quite a hard thing to follow, but make sure they are. I'd just pay close attention to the cash flow statement, to be honest. You know, because there's realised and unrealised profits, all that kind of stuff. And so just check that the profit they announce is not massively out of alignment with their cash flow statements. They are going to be a bit, because they bill and they get paid quite a bit later. So, but yeah, it could be an improver. The share price isn't showing it yet, but could be a recovery play. And lastly, Churchill China. What did they come out with? They came out with a trading update on Friday. Ticker is CHH, the manufacturer of performance ceramic. And they are to deal in the hospitality market pretty much, supplying like plates and all that stuff. At 4.65 or 4.65 a share, their market cap 51 million, enterprise value 41. What did I say in the comments here? The recent trading update, yeah, it's basically a profit warning. Looking back at Churchill China's 2024 results, even though there were a deterioration on 2023, they did show some resilience against the tough market backdrop they're in, namely hospitality. Now, for 24, their revenue dipped by 5% to 78.2 million versus 82.3. Profit before tax dropped 21% to 8.5 million versus 10.8. Cash dropped 28% to 10 million versus 13.9. Free cash flow also slumped 93% to 549k versus 8.1 million pounds. But in this trading update, they now state the company will deliver revenue and profits for the full year significantly below prior year. So forecast numbers I've managed to garner via TradingView suggest 2025 figures will be revenue down by 3.55%, net profit down by 29% to 4.5 million. At 4.56 a share, puts them on a PE of 11. Seems okay, but they're showing signs, no signs of growth. If profits dip further, of course, this PE will go up. They're obviously not improving as a company. In fact, it's doing the opposite. So best to stay clear for now. They do have a strong balance sheet and are still profitable. So a possible recovery play could happen if their fundamentals improve. And this is what I quite like. It's quite clean as a recovery play. So there's no debt, pretty much, net cash, and they are still making a profit. But how long will this persist, pretty much? So it depends, their improvement depends a lot, really, if you want sustained recovery, on the recovery in the hospitality sector. How long that takes is anyone's guess. But if interest rates come down, then it should boost the hospitality sector. Keep an eye out on their future trading updates if you're interested in a recovery play. But like I said, it may take a while. But, it's Churchill China. Again, you know, don't get in until you see some marked improvement in the fundamentals, because recovery could be a long way off yet. You never know. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. By all means, if you want to see more details on these companies, and in fact, I didn't cover one company today, because every day now I'm going to do a secret share. And that's one company I've covered that I won't put on the podcast. You have to check out the website, the Microcap database, to find out what it is. And this is going to be generally a very positive company, a decent company that I won't cover. But of course, the podcasts are free, and ShareBickers Investment Club members pay some money. And they get a lot more, because, you know, listen, the stuff on the podcast is about 5% of coverage the company has on the website. So you see a lot more detail there. But ShareBickers.com, if you join, you can get 25% off. That is the price of half a pint of beer in a week. That's all it is, per week. Or a jumbo battered sausage from the chip shop. Or apparently, it's half of what people spend in chocolate in a week. So it's, you know, it's an investment in your brain, not your belly. Thanks for listening. Monday. Speaking tomorrow. Much as appreciated.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.